Good afternoon, one and all. Now, we are continuing in our series, the series called Real Answers About Heaven. And today I want us to look at the topic called the Great Reunion. One of the most precious and excellent truths in the Bible is that in heaven, we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ. And therefore, as believers, we have hope. Some of you might have lost loved ones, family members, and relatives in the Lord. And I pray that this message will be of great comfort to you as we meditate on these scriptures together. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the book series and its movie adaptation, The Left Behind. I personally have watched it. I have never read the book, but I watched the movies. They have verbally either stirred, frightened, or entertained millions. Author Jim Jenkins and Tim LaHaye popularized in the 1990s the same understanding and expectations about a secret rapture that the Apostle Paul mentioned in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, for those of you who have never read the books or watched the movies, the story goes like this. The novels and the movie series plot revolved around the storyline that non-Christians are or will be left behind when Christ secretly and suddenly removes the church or born-again Christians from earth. Christians who are driving cars, buses, piloting plane, navigating ships, and going about their everyday activities abruptly disappear. And those left behind are baffled by their mysterious disappearance. As a result of this event, families, friends, loved ones are separated, and thus begun a soul searching of some of who have heard the gospel from those who suddenly disappeared, or born-again Christians who got caught up, longing to reunite once again with them, with those who disappeared. But I've got some good news for you. If you are one of God's children, you will get caught up in the rapture to meet Christ in the clouds, and you will be forever with Him. Not only that, the Bible also tells us that you will be reunited with your loved ones, those who have died in Christ in heaven. And when you do, it will be one big family reunion that goes on and on forever. So today we will be looking at this wonderful event, the rapture, the great reunion. First of all, the Bible tells us when we will all be reunited. We will be reunited with our loved ones when Christ returns. Now, if you die before Christ returns, you will have a mini family reunion right then and there, because you will be reunited with those who die before you in the Lord. But the big family reunion when will happen when we all be together will not take place until Christ returns. And the Bible gives us a very specific timeline. Now, this some illustration here. The Bible tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are still alive will be caught up with them. Now, we have looked at the timeline and this chart last Sunday with reference to our new resurrection bodies. But I want us to take a look at it again, this time with reference to being reunited with our loved ones. Now, so part one in the timeline, the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16 with me. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who died in Christ, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which he did, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive," which is, I hope it is you and me, all those who believed, "those which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, the Thessalonians were concerned about those believers who had already died with respect to the return of Christ. So Paul here comforted them and gave them the assurance that they will rise one day when Christ returns. Thus, they should not sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, Paul did not say that you sorrow not. He said, you should not sorrow as those who have no hope. So if your parents or your loved ones passed away, Paul is not saying, do not shed tears. No, we do. But do not shed tears and sorrow as those who have no hope. We will see them again. We're sad, yes, but we will see them again. That's what Paul is saying. And he wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, "For if we believe, which we do, that Christ died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Christ or die in Christ will God bring with him." And who are those sleep in Jesus? Last Sunday, we have learned that those who slept in Jesus are those who have died in Christ. Okay? That includes every Old Testament believers who are now in heaven with Jesus. And also remember from last Sunday, we mentioned that this heaven, right, is also called Abraham's bosom. Right? So Old Testament believers, where do they go? They go to Abraham's bosom. That is mentioned in Luke chapter 16, 22 and 23. Right? So that's where they go. They don't go to a place called the purgatory, and neither do their souls sleep. Right? And this place is also called paradise by Jesus in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Right? So Abraham's bosom and paradise. So where do the people go before Christ returns? Abraham's bosom or paradise? The question arises is, how can they participate in Christ's return to the physical earth? Now we're going to inherit a physical earth, right? A new heaven and new earth without their physical bodies. that's the issue Paul is addressing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Now, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In other words, the Old Testament believers are going to get their new glorified incorruptible bodies here at the rapture. Not only they will get their new bodies first before we do, and go up first to be with Christ before us, before all those which are still alive and still remain. Yeah? And then who those who are still alive, which is us, you, me, will be caught up with them. Right? The resurrected Old Testament saints and all those who die in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 and 18 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall never be separated with God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ever again." So, Paul says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do not lose hope. I know your life is tough. I know persecution. I know Christians are being persecuted. But comfort one another with these words." That's the background of Paul's days. Christians have been persecuted everywhere. And they lost their loved ones. Some of them got killed. But will we see them again? Paul is a Paul. Don't worry about it. We will see them again. Comfort one another with these words. So what happens when Christ returns? The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are still alive will be caught up with them. And that's all before Jesus even gets back to the earth. Now, we will meet Christ in the clouds, right? That's rapture. And then the earth will go through the 70 years of tribulation, as you see in the charts right here, right? Because we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds, with the Old Testament saints, and meet the Lord in the air, then the earth will go through its 7 years of the great tribulation period. And that's where the plot Left Behind comes in. Notice the word "together" there in verse 17. What a beautiful truth of scripture. We will finally be together with those loved ones in Christ who died before us and be together with the Lord. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 52, again, Paul here mentioned about the rapture and how it's going to take place. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means we shall not all die. All right? And it's saying that if you are still alive when Christ returns, this is what happened. "But we shall all be changed." How fast? In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, "for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Right? That's the Old Testament saints and all those people who died before Christ returns. And we shall be changed. So when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first, their bodies will be changed, and all who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will also be changed. All this happens, as Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant. So although there will be an order of resurrection, okay? Now, Old Testament saints and all those who die before Christ, die in Christ before Christ returns, will be raised again, right? And then the New Testament saints, all those just alive, will be transformed. But it really does not make any difference because everything will happen in an instant. Yeah? So, that's the first thing we learn about the great reunion in heaven. We will be reunited with Christ when he returns and reunite with our loved ones when he comes back. Our family members, our relatives, and even our friends who died in the Lord. Now, the key word is in the Lord. If you are not in the Lord, you will not be in heaven when you die. And if you're still alive and Christ comes back, you will not be caught up in the clouds. You will remain here on earth. All right? And you will go through the great, terrible tribulation. Yeah? Right. That leads to the second point of the sermon. That is, when Christ returns, when we all get caught up in the clouds, we will join with the whole family of God. You see, God's family, which is bigger than your family and my family. So when we talk about family reunion or the great reunion, we're not just talking about our family members or our loved ones or our relatives who have died in the Lord. We are talking about the great reunion of the family of God. You see, there will be all sorts of beings in heaven. Not only people you know, but people you've never met in this life. Old Testament saints, believers, New Testament believers, and even magnificent angels and archangels. Angel Michael and Angel Gabriel and cherubims and also some angels. When the great family reunion takes place at Christ's return, the Bible says we will join with the whole family of God, and that means at least three things would happen. Firstly, there is the resurrection of the body, which we have already talked about, but I want to mention it once again in terms of its usefulness in heaven. Why do we get a body in heaven? What for? Well, part of the reason why we will get a new body in heaven is so that we will know and recognize each other. So it's not like you will become a transparent or translucent beings without a recognized physical features. You will have a body. You will have a face. That is recognizable. Okay? Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 says that when Christ returns, he shall change our vile body, ugly body, that it may be fashioned like unto whose body? His glorious body. Now I know at certain times and for certain purposes, Jesus kept his identity hidden when the disciples from the disciples after his resurrection. Disciples seems to not being able to recognize him at first. But overall, the disciples recognize Jesus and his face in his new body. And so we will recognize each other too in heaven. That's why we get a body, a new body, a glorified body. Secondly, interestingly, the Bible tells us that our names are written in heaven. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, they're casting out demons, and they say, oh, you know, I'm so happy that the demons are afraid of us. But Jesus says, no, don't be happy because of that, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I believe that that means your personal identity on earth will continue in heaven. You see, your name identifies who you are. Whether you are Edward, Michael, Brett, Joshua, or Caleb, or whether you are Lydia, Kathy, Melissa, Sharon, Molly J, Evelyn, or Elizabeth. You will have your own, you have your body, and you will have your name. And therefore, we will know and recognize each other in heaven. You get to keep your own identity. And when I see you in heaven, I'll say, aha, that's Susan. Aha, that's Evelyn. Aha, that's Elizabeth. And that's Joshua. That's Caleb. I will know them. Thirdly, we will be able to recognize the Old Testament saints. Now, to me, this is one of the most exciting things, right? Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I would love to meet and speak with Abraham or Isaac, or Jacob, or Adam, or Eve. Maybe you should ask Adam, you know, why did it take that fruit of knowledge of good and evil? You know? Or with Joshua and Caleb, or even David and Jonathan, or Elijah, Elisha, right? And we will all be able to do so, because they will be there, physically, in their resurrected bodies. Jesus said, we will know and recognize who's who and join them in the feast. How wonderful would that be? We also have the examples of what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is related to what we have said just now. In the third point, we read in Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, and it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him, with Jesus. Now the Mount of Transfiguration was a preview of Christ's glorified body and the glories of heaven to come. Now, Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ on the mountain. And the question is, have the disciples ever seen Moses and Elijah before? The answer is no. Yet they were able to recognize them immediately, right? Again, that means we will know and recognize people in heaven whom we have never met. Somehow or rather, okay? You would know, oh, that's Adam. Oh, that's Eve. Oh, that's Elijah. Oh, that's David. That's Jonathan. They don't have to introduce themselves. Oh, my name is David. And my name is Abraham. You would know them somehow. So, we will know and recognize each other in heaven. We will recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast. And we will know and recognize believers that we have never met. We also mentioned just now that the greatest comfort that comes from knowing Christ is knowing that you will see your believing family members, relatives and loved ones, your brothers and sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your grandparents, husbands and wives, sons and daughters. We will all be reunited when Christ returns. Now, people often have questions about their family members in heaven. For example, husband and wives wonder if they will still be married to their spouse in heaven, right? Unfortunately, or fortunately for some, the answer is no. We will not still be married in heaven. Now for me, it's unfortunately, because I love my wife, okay? But you know what? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, he said, in the resurrection, they neither married nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. However, we will still recognize each other and we will remember that we were married. I said, hey, you were my husband before. Hey, I used to be married to you. We will be able to do that. Right, mentally, probably. But the Bible teaches us that marriage is a temporary part of this life, pointing to a much greater marriage in heaven, which is the joining together of Christ, the bridegroom, and his people, the bride, at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Right? So it happened, my wife talks about this in Sunday school just now, about, you know, the Christ being the bridegroom and church being the bride. I like what Robert Peterson says about this. He writes, the New Testament teaches that the marriage covenant dissolves upon death. But this does not mean our relationship with our spouse will be diminished. Rather, because of the absence of sins, we will know our spouse, friends, and loved ones better than we do now. Well, that's great, because I've always wanted to know what my wife thinks, you know? So I will be able to know what my wife thinks perfectly in heaven, right? Now, another question people often ask is, do young children or babies go to heaven if they die before the age of accountability, which we don't know, right? Some say 3, some say 6, some say 12, some say whatever, blah, blah, blah. We don't know what is the age of accountability, which means that it is the age that accountable for, you know, refusing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, or the age that they're accountable to say no to the gospel. We don't know what age that is. People also wonder what age those children will be in heaven. Okay, if the babies die in the womb, when they go to heaven, will they become QPs? You know what QPs, right? All right, never mind. So, like angels, little baby angels, whatever, baby, you know, of course they won't become angels. Will they be still babies? Right? In fact, my children asked me the same question the other day. What happens to the babies who died? Would they, you know, would they go to heaven or something like that? You know? Would they go to heaven? Now, I am inclined to say yes. This is because when King David lost his child, he was confident that he would see his son again. He washed his face, changed his clothes, went to the temple to worship, and then went back to his house to eat. He told his servants, "But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? There's no point in fast because he has died. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him one day, but he shall not return to me." Right? Where is David now? He's definitely in heaven. Right? So when he says, "I shall go to him," that means that I shall go to the baby who died, who is now in heaven. Yeah? But that raises another question, which I haven't answered. What would they look like in heaven? Would they look like a baby? Or as an adult? Well, honestly speaking, I don't know the answer. Alright? So your guess is as good as mine. Perhaps, not only perhaps, they will begin as children and get the opportunity to grow up in heaven that they never got to do in this life, right? Right. Or perhaps their new resurrection body will already be those of a full-grown adult, probably 30 years of age, right? And somebody will say, somebody were nodding at their head, okay. fully mature in body and mind. So it's very funny, they die as a baby and then you find them as adults in heaven. Either way, they will receive a new, incorruptible, glorified body. Right? One verse in the Bible does intrigue me, though. It is from Zechariah chapter 8. Now, you can read that for yourself, the whole chapter, and get the context out of yourself. When God speaks about the New Jerusalem, even back then, in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5, he says, "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Wow. Now, taking this verse literally, which we should, right, looks like there will be God's people in heaven who will be at the age of boys and girls, and they will be playing in the streets of New Jerusalem. By the way, I will be interested in what you think about this verse. Now, I'm going to sound like a YouTuber. You may probably leave your comments on the Facebook. Okay. All right. Although we don't know all the particulars about children in heaven, we still have this great assurance from the scriptures that our children who died before they were old enough to know Christ will be there in heaven with us. And so, this is a great comfort from Scripture. When we join with the whole family of God, we will be reunited with our family members who have died in Christ. So what happens when we join with the whole family of God? We mentioned we will know and recognize each other. We also mentioned that we will be reunited with our family members. And we also mentioned that we will all live, number three, that is, we will all live in perfect harmony, which we're going to talk about right now. And that's important to remember, because some people do not always look forward to family reunions in this life. But family reunions in heaven will not be like some of those stressful holiday lunches or dinners that you may have experienced here on earth. We will finally all live in perfect harmony. Hebrews 12 says this about heaven. Verse 22 to 23. "But ye are come unto the city of the living God, to the spirits of just men," which is us, not just men, women as well, "made perfect." You will be made perfect. In heaven, we will be all perfected and fully reconciled with each other. There will be no more barriers between us and others. No more petty fights. No more quarrels. No more communication breakdowns. And no more misunderstandings. Because everyone will be perfect. This is indeed one of the most precious truths in the Bible. That in heaven, we will join with the whole family of God. I don't know about you. Personally, I can't wait to go to heaven. I think we can all agree with Reverend Richard Baxter when he writes, quote, "I know that Christ is all in all, and that it is the presence of God that makes heaven to be heaven. But yet, it much sweetens the thoughts of that place to me to remember that there are such a multitude of my most dear and precious friends in Christ." Unquote. In heaven, we will join with the whole family of God. We will know and recognize each other. We will be reunited with our friends and our families and our loved ones. We will all live in perfect harmony. So, we have looked at 2 points so far this afternoon. Firstly, we will be reunited when Christ returns. Secondly, we will join the whole family of God. But as wonderful as those truths are, we must never forget point number three. that is, Christ will still be the main attraction and focus in heaven. Yes, we will see our loved ones again. But more importantly, we will see Christ. We'll spend a lot of time in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 today because this chapter was written specially to comfort those who have lost loved ones in Christ. But as you may have noticed, even in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the main focus is still on Christ. Paul says in verse 17 that we will go to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes, we will be with each other in heavens, with our loved ones and families, and that's wonderful. But the main hope and focus of the believers is still not so much that we will be with each other, although that is important, that is good, but that we will be with Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who saved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary. That will be, I think, the sweetest reunion that we will ever get to have. D.A. Carson, the professor of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, writes about his desire to see his loved ones again. Quote, "Indeed, it's right that I should think like that and contemplate renewed relationship with mom and dad and with other loved ones who have gone into the glory ahead of me. But such expectation is," what he said, and he said it's wrong. "If it is at the expense of longing for God." Now the words are heavy, but it is so true, isn't it? The fact that we will be reunited with our Lord, our loved ones in Christ, is indeed a beautiful and comforting truth in the Scriptures. But in our good and right desire to see our loved ones once again, we must never lose sight of Christ, our Lord, our dear Lord, who redeemed and saved us and gave His life for us. So even though we look forward to being reunited with our loved ones, family, and relatives in heaven, Christ will still be the main focus and attraction. As Fanny Crosby wrote in one of her many beautiful hymns, is, "Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. Through the gates of to the sea, in the robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad songs of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all." I hope you're thinking of the same thing as well. The Bible teaches us that we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ. And therefore, as believers, we have hope. We will be reunited with Christ when He returns. How exciting that will be. Secondly, We will join with the whole family of God, and how wonderful that will be. But the main focus and attraction will be Christ. Christ will still be the main attraction in heaven. Dear friends, only those who die in Christ will come with Christ. So the key word is in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Or are you still outside of Christ? Those who are outside of Christ shall not take part in this great reunion at Christ's return. But you can, if you believe in Him and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. You say, "How do I do that?" What does it mean to believe and receive Him as my Lord and Savior? Well, let me give you a couple of scriptures. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what does that even mean? I'll explain to you. To confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus means to acknowledge what you know about Him, that He is whom He claims Himself to be. That is, He is the eternal Son of God, that He is our Creator and Savior, who became a man and lived a perfect life on earth. Number two, to believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead means to accept the fact that He died for your sin and rose again from the dead. If you do, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says here in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power, or authority, exousia, to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so, not only we need to share this good news with our loved ones, family, and friends, we also must pray for them to come to Christ. As one author quoted Jonathan Edwards' letter to his family, I quote, "Let us all take care that we may meet there at last," unquote. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is coming back again. I don't know when, but it may be soon. And the hymn says, it may be soon, it may be noon. Since we are having our service in the afternoon, I can't say that. All right. So noon has passed. It's 12 o'clock. When it does, we will be reunited with our loved ones, families, relatives, those who have died in Christ. We and they will never die and be or be separated ever again. As believers, we look forward to a glorious family reunion into God's house, and then the glory begins. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we will be looking at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 to 15, with regard to judgments, the great white throne judgments, and the rewards. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your word, thank Thee for Your promises and assurance. Lord, we want to pray for Your people once again, that they will be comforted, to be assured that one day they will see their loved ones and family members who died in Christ, that they should not sorrow even as those who are without hope. At the same time, we want to pray for all those who are still outside of Christ. Father, I pray that You will touch their hearts. Lord, many of them have heard the gospel for many times. They understood the gospel. So I pray, even as we have presented the gospel once more, we pray that You will speak to their hearts and humble themselves before the mighty hands of God, and to cry out unto Thee, O Lord, to confess their sins unto the Lord, and to receive You, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and personal Savior. Well, I pray that You will continue to be with us and continue to protect us, lead us, and guide us bless us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.